To Alaska now, where salmon runs have sustained generations of native people in small fishing communities. But now, in many parts of the state, those runs have dwindled. And that includes the Chignik River along the Alaska Peninsula. Residents there are now struggling to store enough fish for the winter. Izzy Ross of Alaska's Energy Desk has more from a group that fears it's losing a fishing tradition.
That used to be a restaurant there.
Gene Carlson drives through the narrow, winding streets of Chignik Bay.
And those across over there, that's a Webloft over there, which is shut down now. There's another one of my cousin's houses. He's not living there anymore.
The Chignik area has been home to native people for millennia. And in the late 1800s, Chignik Bay was established as a fishing community as more people of Aleutic, Aleut, Russian, and Scandinavian descent moved to the area. Now, about 90 residents live here year-round. During the summer, people would normally be out fishing commercially or filling smokehouses with subsistence catch. But for 4 years now, the sockeye and chinook returns to Chignik have been extremely low.
It is what it is, I guess. Kind of glad I'm old. I guess, you know, the younger people are going to have to do something else because there's just no way they're going to be able to have a lifestyle of any sort with this kind of fishing.
Carlson was born in Chignik Bay and has fished commercially since he was a kid in 1961. Now he lives in Washington State and usually returns for the summer. But he says this may be his last season here.
If we have another prediction like this year, I don't think I'd come back, you know. It's expensive. Because, you know, when we come back, we bring food for the whole summer, and because we got to feed our crews, which you can't even find anymore.
The village of Chignik Lagoon is about an hour's boat ride along the bay's shoreline.
And it's protected by the sandstone because of the natural breakwater. See it up ahead of us here.
George Anderson fishes commercially and for subsistence. He's also the president of the Chignik Intertribal Coalition, which was formed after the run collapsed in 2018. Earlier this past summer, the run was so low that some people chose not to put out nets for subsistence fish. They were worried about harming the fragile run.
It's something that we took for granted in the past that the fish were just always going to be there for, you know, smoking, salting, freezer, whatever. And to have that not be there for you is just something we're never prepared for, never imagined even not subsisting.
Some scientists have connected fisheries failures in the Gulf of Alaska to marine heat waves. But state research biologists also say it could be because of habitat changes in the salmon's spawning grounds. Since the Chignik Run collapsed, much of the debate has centered on another state-run fishery to the south, called Area M. Critics see it as an intercept fishery, where sockeye traveling through are harvested before they can reach fisheries closer to spawning grounds like Chignik. Anderson says it feels like the Chignik villages are shouldering the burden of conservation when the run is low. While the state has restricted Chignik fishing, fishermen further south are still allowed to go out and harvest. They haven't yet received the federal disaster relief money they were promised after the 2018 failure either. Kevin Schaberg is a fin fish research coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
It's hard to understand that, you know, everybody else gets to go fishing, but you got to sit home next to the river and watch no fish go by. And that's tough, and it's something that we've tried to handle in the past.
In previous years, he says, the department has limited fishing in nearby areas when Chignik was low. But he says the burden of conserving a run usually falls on areas closest to where those fish should be returning to spawn, like in the lakes at the head of the Chignik River. He says the department plans to research whether something in the watershed is contributing to the run's decline. In the meantime, other organizations have tried to help. Last summer, a commercial processor donated thousands of Bristol Bay sockeye to the Chignik's. Locals say receiving that fish was amazing. But subsistence isn't just about food. It's also a connection to place and family as people work together to harvest. Elder Vivian Brandle is 80 and has lived in the Chignik area all her life. Now she goes to Kodiak in the winter. She says it's difficult to comprehend what is happening.
Subsistence fishing is a lifeline. That's something we've done all our life. It's something we really depend on, actually, not only fishing, but we used to be able to get caribou. We'd get caribou every year. You can't even do that anymore.
Brandel says the Lower Sockeye runs have changed the future of the Chignik communities.
That's five villages that depend on this fishery. And you look at it, you think, how can the state let this happen? How can they just let this happen without doing anything about it? I have grandchildren that thought this was their legacy.
She wants the state to study why the fish aren't coming back and to be more responsive.
We believe in this and we should fight for it. And I won't be able to anymore, but I just think the young people really ought to. You know, it's very emotional for people. You look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be crying. This is crazy, but it is very hard.
Brandel hopes people in Chignik can work together to help their community survive. For Here and Now, I'm Izzy Ross.